This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
So, we gotta have a brief conversation to start the hour. Hour number two, the Rob Brown Show on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Brian is a P1 of the station. And then, of course, we have two local shows on the station. We have the Rob Brown Show every morning from 6 to 10 a.m. We have Wire to Wire with Cole and Diesel every afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. And we have a breakdown of listeners to both stations, to both shows. Those are our traditional P1s. And then we have the P1s of the Rob Brown Show. We call them lovingly the Armada. We have the P1s of Wire to Wire with Cole and Diesel. They are called the Tolos. Turn on, leave on. So this year, Rob Brown decided at the very last minute to pull a heel move. And instead of doing a Rob Brown Show bracket, I said, we're going to invade Wire to Wire's bracket. We are going to stack the top of the leaderboard with brackets that have TRBS on the name, the Rob Brown Show, so that we can prove to the world that the Armada is first class, that we know ball. And it went well. We got a bunch of TRBS brackets in that Wire to Wire competition right now. In fact, the top two brackets in the bracket competition are both TRBS brackets right now. The Ray Memorial bracket and I Got This, which is our buddy Mike. Well, as I paid attention to the bracket competition, going into the bracket competition, our dear friend Brian, who has been with us every single morning, was initially named with the TRBS bracket. And he is currently T6 in the bracket competition, 520 points, just 40 points off of the lead right now. He's right there in the mix. Another TRBS bracket inside of what is effectively the top five positions in the bracket competition, except I opened it this morning, and now it's Brian Pettit Tolos. He has changed names. He has changed shows, and he has been telling me now that Cole and Diesel were trying to lure him over, bribe him over, entice him to change his bracket name to the Tolos. And I understand why. I understand why. Because there's a lot of TRBS brackets up at the top of the leaderboard. And there's a lot of basketball left. It could turn completely on its head. And we may see some Tolos creep up there. We may see even more TRBS brackets make their way to the top of the bracket leaderboard. But Brian has been hanging around at the top of the leaderboard the whole time. He's inside of the top 2% of brackets on ESPN. He's right up there at the very top. And now I'm being told that he is being lured by Colin Diesel to the dark side. I can only assume because they saw the TRBS bracket stacking up at the top of the leaderboard and they got a little scared. They got a little nervous. They got a little apprehensive that the Rob Brown Show Armada was going to take over this bracket, as I predicted that we would, because we know ball, baby. And now I find out that perhaps maybe some back alley meetings between Cole and Diesel and Armada members who may be a little bit shaky in their commitment, their dedication, their resiliency, their love of the show. We may have, ladies and gentlemen, a little bit of controversy going on here, a little bit of drama going on here, a little mob mentality, and I mean mafia style, going down between the folks hosting in the afternoons and the listeners here in the AMO. We are going to be keeping an eye on this development. And Brian, buddy, you've been with us for 3 years here. I love you. I'm glad you're still tuned in, even if you are ditching the Armada in favor of the Tolos. I feel like I may have to suspend your captaincy from the Armada. I may have to suspend your membership in the Armada, and it may just last until a national champion is crowned, until the nets are cut, until that one shining moment echoes off into our distant memories for the 2025 NCAA Basketball Championship Tournament. But Brian, this is egregious. I am wounded, sir. I feel betrayed, stabbed in the back. I am hurt because of you, and I have never. I was prepared to come in here and go off on the Ray Memorial bracket, a bracket which showed up at the very last minute, a bracket that showed up 1 hour into last Friday's show. After it, I already said, I'm T2. Suddenly, I dropped to T3. This bracket shows up, and not only has showed up, but I believe has missed just one game since Friday morning when they showed up, and now I don't even know who's running the Ray Memorial bracket. I do know Mike is running the bracket in second place. I got this TRBS. I have never changed so quickly. All of a sudden, the Ray Memorial bracket, a bracket I planned on hearing giving absolute X-Pac heat to this morning, nuclear heat to this morning. Whoever's running that bracket, a bracket that up until yesterday was named Stop Crying, Liberob, which objectively hilarious in my opinion. I am now a huge fan of the Ray Memorial bracket. Our buddy Mike, I'm a big fan. Brian, I say this with the same love and respect that you showed me when you changed your name from Brian Pettit TRBS to Brian Pettit Tolos. I hope your bracket comes crashing down. I hope when I wake up the morning after national championship, I don't know how. I hope you're in last place, buddy. I love you. Thanks for being here. Keep showing up. But that hurts. That wounds. That hurts my heart. I'm just sad on the inside, Brian, because the Armada, we're supposed to be one. We're supposed to be family. We're supposed to, it's like Brian Kelly. We're supposed to be family. And instead I get this betrayal, this departure from the group. Ooh. Benedict Arnold level stuff, man. Benedict Arnold. It hurts. Alas, we shall carry on. We shall push ever forward into the sports conversations of the day, ladies and gentlemen. It is 7:07 in the morning. There's stuff we got to talk about. There's stuff we got to get to. And there are some stories that carry more weight than others. When you get to the office this AM, when you start talking sports with your coworkers, these are the three stories you'll be talking about. These are the water cooler cheat sheet.
When you got nothing, you got nothing. You know? Here's what I want to say to you. Nothing. All right? I'm looking you in the eye at the water cooler. I don't want to say anything to you.
Me personally or?
No.
I'm just making sure.
If I got a problem with you, I'm going to tell you I got a problem with you.
I know that. That's why I was a little.
I got a problem with your glasses, but other than that, it's just too much. It is. It's too much.
Top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office this morning and start talking sports with your coworkers. Let's dive right in to item numero uno. You know what? I just realized something. Lonzo, Thursday, Thursday is going to go down as one of the best sports day we have had in a very long time. Because Thursday, March 27th, is a big day. Because, number one, the Sweet 16 in the College Basketball Championship Tournament kicks off. On Thursday, we will have number one seeded Duke taking on Arizona. We'll have number six BYU taking on Alabama. On Thursday, we will have number three Texas Tech taking on 10 seed Arkansas. On Thursday, we'll have number one Florida taking on Maryland. It is going to be a sweet day in college basketball. And, my dear friends, it's also Major League Baseball opening day. 28 of 30 teams will be in action on Thursday. I'm going to go ahead and say right now, don't call me, don't text me, don't tweet me, don't FaceTime me, don't smoke signal me, don't send a carrier pigeon, do nothing, because Rob Brown will be busy from the moment this all starts off until he gets into the building to do the show on Friday morning. I can't wait. However, water cooler cheat sheet item number one is that your Sweet 16 is set. Thursday and Friday, we will see the action. Number one overall seed Auburn able to get by a game Creighton Blue Jays team. They win 82-70 in the bottom half of that bracket. They will match up in the Sweet 16 with the five seed of Michigan. They get by A&M. Man, I thought that Texas A&M gritty physical defense was going to be enough, but at the end of the day, if you can't put the Brown thing in the round, thing, nothing else matters. 91-79, the Wolverines will move on. In the bottom half of that bracket, a team that did play physical, gritty, hard-nosed defense, the Ole Miss running Rebel, shocking everybody. The sixth seed getting by Iowa State, not just getting by him, but putting a lot of points on the board. 91-78. They await Tom Izzo and the Michigan State Spartans. New Mexico, the Lobos, gave them a hell of a contest last night, but Sparty able to get away late, 71-63, so Ole Miss Michigan State in the Sweet 16. Florida had to get sweaty against Dan Hurley's UConn Huskies, but they finish it off in the dying breaths of the game, 77-75. They await now Maryland, who Derek Queen had to hit a buzzer beater to make sure that they did not fall to the Colorado State Rams, 72-71, Maryland on their way to the next level. Texas Tech, not much problem with Drake. Drake, of course, shocked everybody by getting by Mizzou, but just not enough firepower to get by the Red Raiders. So Texas Tech is on, and they will meet, how about the 10 seed, John Calipari's Arkansas Razorbacks, still alive. They get by Rick Pitino in the St. John's Red Storm, 75-66. So Arkansas, Texas Tech, that might be my favorite game in the Sweet 16. Texas Tech favored by 5.5 over on the other side of the bracket. Duke gets by Baylor, 89-66. We broke that game down in the last hour. Arizona escapes Oregon late last night, 87-83. Duke and Zona will match up on Thursday. The 6 seed BYU, one of my dark horse picks, 91-89 over the Big Ten's Wisconsin Badgers. In Alabama gets by the St. Mary's Gales with relative ease, 80-66. So BYU Alabama in the Sweet 16. Houston knocks off Gonzaga, 81-76, and they get my pick to shock everybody, the Purdue Boilermakers, 76-62 winners over McNeese State. So Houston, Purdue on Friday. Kentucky finishes off Illinois, 84-75 winners, and we get a 2-3 matchup between SEC teams in the bottom half of that bracket in the Sweet 16 as the UT Volunteers finish off the UCLA Bruins, 58-67. Your final in that one, Kentucky, Tennessee on Friday could be a big one as well. There's your Sweet 16 matchups. We'll be breaking those down throughout the week. Let's get to item number two. We stay in the land of college basketball for this one, and it has to do with the Sweet 16, although it is not about scores. It is about record books. I told you coming into this year, I told you midway through the year, I told you at the end of the year that I believe the Southeastern Conference in basketball this year is the best individual conference in an individual sport in any individual year, maybe in the history of colleges playing in conferences. Well, They kind of pushed that argument forward because the Southeastern Conference has seven teams inside of the Sweet 16. That is a lot of them. The record belonged to the Atlantic Coast Conference, who had six Sweet 16 teams back in 2016. Now it belongs to the SEC. Despite being the lowest-seeded SEC team to reach the Sweet 16 ahead of 10-seed Arkansas, Ole Miss closed it up and set the record with that dub last night. The SEC already had the NCAA tournament record with 14 teams gaining berths in the tournament. If you include Texas in the play-in game, 13. If you don't, still a big number. The league eclipsed the former mark of 11 that belonged to the Big East back in 2011, but that year only two Big East schools advanced to the Sweet 16. 14 from the SEC get in. Half of them head to the Sweet 16. That is impressive. Let's get to item number three. We're going to talk about this later. I'm going to make you all listen to me talk about this later, and the handful of you that are United States of America soccer fans are, I hope, going to be involved in this conversation. Back-to-back defeats, and Mauricio Pochettino, the new manager of the United States men's soccer team, has guided this team to a not medal in the CONCACAF Nations League. Last night, Team USA took on Team Canada in the bronze medal game, and they fell 2-1 in the third place match in front of about six dozen fans out in Inglewood, California, at SoFi Stadium. The U.S. has one tournament left. It is the CONCACAF Gold Cup plus four international windows before the World Cup. Now, Mauricio is trying to convince us all that, hey, it's no big deal. He says, quote, it's better now because I think we have time. If we will be in the situation in 1 year's time, for sure, I will tell you, Houston, we have a problem, SOS. I respect him getting into the American lingo. That's very nice. But this was an absolute gut punch to those of us that are American soccer fans because it tells me there's a few things missing. Number one, leadership at the U.S. Soccer Federation ranks. This is what happens when you coddle a bunch of the most privileged soccer players in America. This is what happens when, if you want to be a part of the U.S. program, you've got to be able to afford to play travel ball. I promise you, there's a lot of great players out there that can't afford to play travel ball, and therefore they're left out in the dark. And what does it end up doing? It means we send a bunch of coddled baby players who don't have the grit, who don't have the in them to go win matchups like this. Y'all, I promise you, on the list of sports wishes, very few are higher than to see Team USA actually compete in the World Cup next year. Very few of them are higher than actually seeing Team USA represent. I'm not saying win. I'm not even saying medal. I'm just saying show the hell up and show advancement. And I watched about 20 minutes of a game last night that made me turn it off. I had an extra TV. I had three basketball games on. I have four TVs in the Bro Cave at any given moment. I had one of them just off. It was just off, just a blank screen, because I'd rather watch the reflection of my overweight, sad, and depressed self in the black mirror that is a blank television than have watched that team last night give absolutely and precisely zero bleeps. I'm embarrassed, man. Like, I don't know what to say. And I saw people online, what's the problem? What's the problem? What was it, the players? Is it the coaching? Is it the man? It's all of it. It's all of it. It's just, it's all of it from top to bottom. We have an administration that gives a damn about nothing more than making money. We have CONCACAF, which does not care, and they shouldn't, about promoting us. But then you have U.S. Soccer, who basically, you know what the tickets were? There were six dozen people. The tickets were over $100 to get in that game last night. And on top of that, Mexico was playing in the same stadium on the same day later that night. Mexico sold out an NFL stadium to watch their team play soccer in L.A., not in Mexico, in L.A., because nobody, why would I pay $100 to go watch that team play? It's pathetic. We're going to talk more about that later on in the show because I want to. I am Rob Brown. The Great Milanzo's on that side of the glass. Let's have a little fun. The Rob Brown Show carries on after this. It's the Fan Upstate.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show on your radio, it's the Fan Upstate. I had a take during football season that I now find really interesting when I put it into the prism, into the lens of college basketball. During this past football season, I said, the landscape of college football has changed, and you can tell that it has changed because the SEC was good, but it was not, or at least it did not feel like, the dominant force that it felt like in years gone by. And I attributed that to name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal becoming a mainstay. And I said about name, image, likeness, and the transfer portal coming into this year, the thing that intrigued me the most about it was that I thought it was going to increase parity across college football, or at least at the top of it. The smaller schools are still going to struggle, but they always have. I don't think that that is new. I don't think that that has changed. And I think you did see that. You still had most of the dominant football programs across America at the top, but there wasn't like three or four teams that were just clearly the best. There were six or seven throughout the course of the year. And I do think that over the years, you will see that probably spread out even more. Now you'll have teams go on runs, but I do think in any given year, you will see more dominant teams consistently towards the top of the standings than we have had in a long time. And again, the take I had was when a new coach shows up at a program, historically, pre-NIL, pre-transfer portal, historically, most of us had agreed to, you give that coach 3 to 4 years. 3 years to show an upward trajectory, 4 years to show that his culture has been established, that his roster building has been established, that his coaching staff and his mentality within it has been established. And if you put the NIL and the transfer portal on that same timeline, I think what you recognize and realize is that NIL and portal has changed the game. Many of you don't like it. Some of us don't care. Whatever you want to think about it. But it is established. It is ingrained. Teams have responded. There's still plenty more change. We still got the House settlement and these other legislation and litigation issues that have to be handled. But by and large, most teams and coaches have kind of figured out this is how I'm going to navigate this, and I'll tinker with it as we go. And I thought, I don't know that we will have any given year that one conference, and obviously we're talking primarily about the SEC and the Big Ten, will be more dominant than the other. I think we're going to see across the two power conferences, and with the occasional pop-up team from the smaller conferences, we'll see a lot more parity across a lot more teams. So how do I explain the Southeastern Conference in basketball this year? How do I explain the Southeastern Conference having what I believe to be the most dominant individual year in any individual sport that any individual conference has had? The answer to me is coaching. Now, I've said that I believe recruiting involves three C's, cash, culture, and coach. There are three C's to getting kids wanting to come play for your school. Number one, you just got a boatload of NIL money, and you got enough to pay guys that are depth guys, money that they would get as starters playing at other universities. Number two is the culture of the school. There are some cultures that stand out. Clemson's culture is one of them. I honestly believe Shane Beamer is building something very similar, different culture, but similar in terms of its impact and importance at South Carolina. I look at Ryan Day at Ohio State. There is definitely a Buckeye culture that is established there, and it is still getting top 10 recruiting classes there. Now, if culture breeds success, the rich get rich. Your kids want to play for the programs at the top. But now that there is a little bit more incentive to spread out across college football, culture becomes that much more important. Can I establish a culture where a kid might want to go play there, even if it is going to take them a year or two to be a starter, to break into the starting 11 on either side of the football or the starting five in basketball? But I have also maintained for a very long time, of the three C's, cash, culture, and coach, the most important is what I always list as the final, coach. I believe that coaching is the most important of the three C's. A coach establishes the culture at any given program. A coach impacts how invested boosters and NIL supporters will be. A coach is what gets people excited. And a coach is what turns people off to a program. That's it. It's coaching. That's the most important thing. And so when I look across the Southeastern Conference in basketball right now, I look at John Cal at Arkansas. I look at Nate Oates at Alabama. I look at Bruce Pearl at Auburn, number one overall seed. When I look across the SEC, and specifically the teams that are still alive in the Sweet 16, I will tell you what I think the SEC has done. I think they have hoarded the coaches that do the best job at building the culture, at getting people invested and involved and wanting to be a part of the program from a supportive standpoint. I have been on the Nate Oates bandwagon for 3 years now. I said when he showed up there, I'm like, I don't really know about this hire. And within 6 months of watching this guy and listening to press conferences and seeing his team play, I look at an Alabama team. I watched an Alabama team play last night that is as good of a team as I have seen in a very long time. When I look at Bruce Pearl at Auburn, for some reason yesterday, as I was watching basketball, scrolling the interwebs last night, my algorithm decided that I wanted to see a bunch of Bruce Pearl clips. Not basketball, but interactions with the Auburn community. And I texted P1 Keegan, Captain Keegan of the Armada, who is our resident Auburn representor. Texted him, and I'm like, dude, in a weird way, like I'm kind of team Bruce Pearl right now. Now, Bruce has always been kind of a divisive, a polarizing guy. We've had the pictures of Bruce Pearl shirtless at pool parties that got him into a little heat back in the day. But I look at Bruce Pearl, and I watch the interaction he has with Auburn fans, and I'm like, yeah, I get why they love this guy. And I get why players love this guy. I look at John Cal. John Calipari right now looks like he's having as much fun coaching college basketball as anybody in the country. John Calipari on the sideline, in his post-game press conferences, in his interactions with fans, looks like he's just having a great time. And if you look at the Razorback locker room after they knocked off St. John's, eight and a half point upset? A game that none of us, very few of us, had Arkansas picked to win. John Cal's locker room looked like they were having the time of their gosh darn rootin' tootin' lives. They were hype. And when John Cal walked in the room, you'd have thought he was on the damn team the way they were celebrating with that guy. When I look at the Sweet 16 and the teams from the Southeastern Conference that have made it in, like I said, Nate Oates at Alabama, Pope at Kentucky, Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Again, I'm still waiting for the annual Rick Barnes Collapsathon. I honestly thought it might be UCLA. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they're going to get it right. When I look at John Cal at Arkansas, when I look at Golden at Florida, I was watching UConn Florida yesterday leading up to the Greenville Swamp Rabbit game. I was up in the lounge watching the end of that game, and there was a spot. Florida was up, I think, 2. UConn brings the ball down. They miss. Florida goes the other way. They cherry pick a dunk. They go up 4, 40 seconds left or whatever it was. And the camera turned over to the Gator basketball sideline. It turned over to Todd Golden. And Todd Golden, who was watching the play develop on the floor, and he was doing like the classic basketball coach, like bent over, hands on knees, just like really intently watching the game. He springs out of that. He turns to the Florida blue and orange fan base behind him, and he hits like a spinning, almost like a soccer celebration, jumping, spinning in the air fist pump. And he comes down. It was like watching a wrestler win a heavyweight belt, man. Just like hands went up. This dude looked like he was a fan. Like, if I would have just showed you the video, and you don't know who Todd Golden and the Florida Gators are, and I just showed you this video, you'd have thought he was like a damn student manager or something. He was so invested in the game, and all of the guys on the sideline started, like, pushing him and grabbing him by the shoulders, and, like, he looked like he was, again, a member of the team. Todd Golden at Florida is another perfect example of that. Chris Beard at Ole Miss. Now, Chris Beard's an interesting case study. Chris Beard was let go at Texas because, even though they have reconciled, there was a domestic violence incident involving Chris Beard. And Texas said, that's too much, man. We got to let you go. And Ole Miss said, hey, we're the team that believes in second chances, as is always the case with big-time coaches and athletes. And Ole Miss said, we'll bring Chris Beard in. And Chris Beard gets an incredible amount of grit out of his basketball team. Same situation. They've all bought in. I will tell you this right now, and I mean it. There are 3 C's to recruiting: culture, cash, and coaching. And while most of y'all think that cash is the most important thing, and to some players, I'm sure that it is, in terms of the success of a program, and I think SEC basketball this year more than any other year in any other sport in any other conference proves it, a coach who builds a great culture, who gets the fans to invest and support both in terms of during games and financially in the offseason, that will breed success faster than anything else. And I think the fact that there are this many SEC teams, and I know every one of their coaches by first and last name and where they've been in their history because their guys buy in and make them must-see TV, is the absolute living proof of that. Take a break. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Is the O-O-O Riley jingle the GOAT jingle in radio history? Like, I feel like it is. That jingle has been on the radio since I was listening to Saints games on the radio as a child. And it's, like, it's still going. And it's not just still going, but it's I would say in terms of recognizability, in terms of memorability, it's got to be at the top, right? Like, I asked for the O'Reilly jingle. You don't think about it. You just go to it. It's very memorable. You're not going to forget it. It's short enough that it sticks in the brain, but it's long enough that you remember the name. I got to tell you, if we're power ranking all-time radio jingles, I think the O'Reilly jingle is claiming an easy number one. I think the ba-da-ba-ba-ba is like way up there. But remember, that ends with, I'm loving it. And while it has obviously become the Golden Arches go-to, at the same time, it doesn't say the company's name in it. And so I'm kind of like, it's a great jingle, it's catchy, it's memorable. But if I just went out in public and I was walking down the street and I was like, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, people may not know the company of the jingle. But if I walk down the street and I hit the oh, I feel like a chorus of people in any given bar are going to drop the O'Reilly on me. It's an all-timer. It's an all-timer. Great one if I ask for the number one radio jingle of all time. Are you putting anything above the O-O-O O'Reilly?
Here's the problem with it, the fact that I am old. So I do remember a time when there are certain jingles that lasted a really long time and then they went away.
Sure.
So this is one of those in your lifetime things. So in your lifetime, I could see why O'Reilly would be there. But Plop Plop Fizz Fizz was, for me, a very long time, which was Alka-Seltzer. I mean, there were some things back in the day that lasted a really long time back in the day. And we hear these commercials more than probably anybody.
Sure. But, I mean, I think anybody listening to radio has dropped that one. And now, was Plop Plop Fizz Fizz, was that a radio jingle for a hot minute? Because I don't remember
that everywhere.
One on the radio.
It was on TV and it was on radio.
I also think that one died out when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think it's an age thing.
But here's the thing.
If you want to say currently O'Reilly's, maybe, but I don't think you can say all time.
I remember Plop Plop Fizz Fizz as a kid, but I also remember O-O-O O'Reilly as a kid, and there's never been a point where O'Reilly's went, hey guys, like maybe the O-O-O has run its case.
I don't, because I don't think O'Reilly's was around when I was a kid.
I mean, maybe not, but I would say in terms of staying power, I know it's been a jingle for at least 30 years now. Like at least 30 years, and not one point has O'Reilly said, hey, we should freshen it up a little bit. Maybe we should freshen it up. Maybe we should try something new. I don't know. I think it's way up there on the list. All right. We've been talking college basketball on the show today. I gave you a thought there. I'm kind of curious as to what y'all think about my take there. Got a couple of texts and a couple of folks chiming in on the Facebook Live /YouTube/Twitch/Twitter stream. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube. The Fan Upstate on Twitter. The Rob Brown Show on Facebook, on YouTube, and on Twitch. All different ways that you can stream the show live. Every single day, all 4 hours, go behind the scenes with the great one and I. We have conversations off the air during the breaks that sometimes make it on the radio and sometimes they do not. So if you want the full impact of the great one Lonzo in your life, you need to come join us on the live stream. So here's a couple of thoughts that have come in so far. Spartanburg Jay texts the show, ask a fair question. He said, Rob, your three C's, why hasn't Clemson been more successful in basketball? That's from Spartanburg Jay. I have a couple of thoughts on that, Jay. I'm going to say this, and I think this is...
What is successful?
I mean, he's been there 15 years. He has an Elite Eight appearance. I'm going to say, because I obviously the answer to that is subjective, but I'm going to say if a coach is at a school for 15 years, like a couple of Final Fours. I'm not even saying a natty, but like a couple of Final Fours. Like, get close, right? And he hasn't. So here's my gut instant knee-jerk reaction to that, Jay. My gut instant knee-jerk reaction to that is, and this is probably, not probably, I'm going to say definitively, more true about basketball than it is about football. You still got to have a great player. You still got to have a guy. If I look at the teams that are still alive, Jani Broome at Auburn, Mark Sears at Alabama, like most of them have Cooper Flagg at Duke. The teams that we consider to be national championship caliber teams. Kaufman Wren and Braden Smith at Purdue. LJ Cryer at Houston. Like all these teams do have an elite level player. Last year, Clemson had a couple of guys that were like on the edge of that conversation. And they made an Elite Eight run. Probably the best run that Clemson basketball, definitely the best run Clemson basketball has had since I got here. I understand this year they set the record for most ACC wins in a single season for the school. But as I've said a bunch of times, this was also the worst ACC year I can remember. Like the ACC was just bad this year. And you can see that in the Sweet 16. You have what? One ACC team in the Sweet 16? That's unheard of. It's unheard of. You got Duke in there, and Duke has, again, a standout player. I just don't think Brad's been able to get the talent. Now, why not? I mean, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. Is Brad Brown now not exciting enough for young players? I don't know. Is Clemson basketball struggling in the NIL front? Not to my understanding. Their NIL program seems to be pretty strong. So I don't know if it's just, I don't know if it doesn't care. And I will acknowledge there's also some level of this of the school's got to care about basketball. And I say this respectfully to the Clemson fan base. I don't think y'all care about basketball. Honestly. Like just my 5 years worth of anecdotal experience living here in the upstate of South Carolina. I don't think Clemson fans care about basketball. I think you jump on the bandwagon when the team is good, and the second that something goes sideways, you jump right back off. Kentucky fans don't do that. Arizona fans don't do that. Duke and Carolina fans don't do that. The second something goes wrong, you guys do not care about college basketball. In fact, last Friday, the day after Clemson gets bounced in the opening round by a 12 seed in McNeese State, I came in here the next morning and I said, hey, Clemson fans, what's the take on your status of your basketball team right now? Now, the day before that, the 2 days before that, the Wednesday and the Thursday, because I was off on vacation that Monday and Tuesday, the 2 days before that, on Wednesday and Thursday, when we were talking about the lead up to the tournament, a 5 seed for the Clemson Tigers. And I asked for your opinion. Hey, how do you feel about the matchup? How do you feel about the breakdown? You know, Will Wade, a couple of years ago, he wanted that Clemson job, and you guys didn't even get on the phone with him, which, for the record, is very understandable. Will Wade was a subject in an FBI wiretap investigation. That's heat, man. In fact, I asked a dear friend, and I'll say influential Clemson guy, later after that show. I said, hey, let me ask you a question. I'm going to give you the DeLorean, hit you with 88 miles an hour, Back to the Future. 2 years ago, you got an opportunity to get on the horn. Pre-Elite Eight run, you got an opportunity to get on the horn and to bring Will Wade to Clemson coming out of his LSU tenure. Would you do that? And his response was, honestly, even with everything we've seen the last 2 years, no. And I said, why? And he said, I wouldn't have put that much heat on the program. But that's not the Clemson mentality. That's not the Clemson culture. And I'm fine. I'm good with that. I agree. I think hindsight is 20/20. It's very easy this year to say, oh, we made a mistake by not getting Will Wade. But what I would argue is, I've got a fan base that even if they're in on the NIL, and even if Clemson takes that NIL and they say, hey, we're gonna dedicate a good chunk of it to Clemson basketball, respectfully, your fan base doesn't care. And I look at let's just look at the rest of the teams in the Sweet 16. Historically, Auburn fans didn't care about Auburn basketball. But over the past 2 years, Bruce Pearl shows up. You got one of the best coaches in America. You're making runs. You're one of the best teams in college basketball for the last 2 seasons. Now the Auburn fans are all in, and watch their recruiting class this year. It's going to be a top 10 class. Chris Beard shows up to Ole Miss. Ole Miss signals with that coaching hire. And remember, Chris Beard, I would argue, Chris Beard probably had as much, if not a little bit more heat on him. Because yes, Will Wade had an FBI wiretap investigation going, but remember, it was about recruiting violations. Chris Beard had a straight-up domestic violence charge on him. But with that hire, the Ole Miss running Rebels said, hey, we're serious about basketball now. Alabama went and got Nate Oates. They said, yo, we want a basketball program that matches the football program. And now all of a sudden, Alabama basketball, 2 years in a row, has been a Final Four favorite in the bracket. The only bad thing they got is they got Duke. If Duke wasn't in this bracket, Alabama would be a clear-cut favorite. And I'm going to tell you right now, I got Alabama shocking Duke and going to the Final Four. I look down at Kentucky and Tennessee. I don't think we need to spend a bunch of time talking about those teams. Those are basketball schools. Maybe Kentucky, basketball school first. Remember, their basketball coach and their football coach damn near got into a fight a couple of years ago about that. Right? Clemson fans, respectfully, and I don't, I don't know how I feel about South Carolina fans on the men's side yet, right? Like, you guys had a rough year this year, obviously. And it makes sense why. You lost your best player to the NBA. You lost a lot of guys that transferred out. You didn't even have a point guard on this roster. It's a tough season. I'm interested to see how South Carolina men's basketball fans respond to this season. The women's side, no question. You had the worst regular season year in the last three or four, and you're still selling out the arena in Columbia, right? You're still selling out the Colonel. So with that being said, I look at Clemson basketball, and I see a program that last year in an Elite Eight run, the fans were like all on board. They were all there. And then this year, the wins are stacking up in the conference, and the Clemson fans are all in. And then they lose in the opening round to McNeese State. They lose to Will Wade. On Wednesday and Thursday, the 2 days leading up to the first round, I went back and I counted. I was averaging about 9 interactions per show just on Clemson basketball, between phone calls, text, tweets, emails, whatever. I was averaging about 9 interactions a day leading up to that game. On Friday, I come in here. I crack the mic. You lost to McNeese. I open the show. I'm like, hey, Clemson fans, how do you feel about your basketball program? Are you optimistic about the future? Do you look at this and go, it was a one-off loss, or do you feel like there's a problem? On Thursday, during the game, I was at a local watering hole. There had to be, and I'm not exaggerating, there had to be 110 Clemson fans there, all decked out in Clemson jerseys, football and basketball. The Alumni Association was there handing out pom-poms and sunglasses with tiger stripes on the arms, all jacked up on Mountain Dew. And a couple of them, because I wore my hockey jersey with my name on the back because I'm an attention, you know what, a couple of them came up and said, hi, Rob Brown, I'll listen to the show. I said, thanks, man, great, call in sometime. I said, yeah, for sure. On Friday, after the loss, I spent the day saying, Clemson fans, how do you feel about your team? How do you feel about your team? How do you feel about Brad? How do you feel about the program? How do you feel about the extension? How do you feel? How do you feel? How do you feel? I got over a four-hour show, zero interaction. Zero interaction. None. Not a phone call. Not a text. The text number, the Hub City Spartanburger text line, 844-326-3663, is at your disposal. You don't have to interact. You don't have to reply. All I asked for was send me a text with your thoughts on the program. Nada. Nada. I bring up Duke's mayonnaise. I get 50 texts. I bring up South Carolina basketball. I get text. I bring up WrestleMania. I get a text. 4 hours. The day after your team got bounced from round one of the championship tournament, I got zero interactions. Not a tweet, not a call, not a text, not a Facebook post, not an email. Zero. And so, I have to say, respectfully, if I'm Brad, it's probably hard for me to go out there and talk to the guys that are considering North Carolina and Duke. Now they're considering Tennessee. They're considering Georgia, who was in the tournament this year. They're considering Alabama and Auburn, who are not just in the tournament, but they are Final Four favorites out of their respective brackets. Florida. All these schools surround Clemson. And if I'm Brad, how do I go get the best talent considering all those schools to say yes to Clemson when the second there's adversity and it hits that program, the fan base just disappears? I'm sorry, but that's just as somebody who is objective and wants to keep it real with you. When UConn loses a game, UConn back, I promise you, UConn radio airwaves are burning up this morning. They don't disappear. Clemson fans, you guys, literally, you disappeared from the 17 interactions over a couple of days, zero the day after you lose. How am I going to tell a top-level talent that if they come here, they're going to get the attention that they want and they need? You're not. You can't. You won't. And I think that might be the biggest problem, but that's just my opinion, man. You want another opinion? Not a single person anywhere in America reads sports flashes like Lonzo does.
Just want to say, I'm on your side, listener. Rob's going after everybody today. I don't know what's going on. Whoa. It's Monday. It's a record-setting Sweet 16 as Ole Miss became the seventh Southeastern Conference team to make the third round of the NCAA basketball championship tournament. That's a lot. from a conference. The conference already set the bar with the most teams included in the tournament with 16. Aaron Rodgers, watch, continues with the 41-year-old quarterback visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers over the weekend. Rodgers reportedly spent 6 hours at the facility meeting with the coaching staff, though no agreement was met. According to the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Rodgers has offers from the Steelers and the Giants, and we'll make his decision soon, I'm sure. Tune in this afternoon from 3 to 7 p.m. for Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel ride shotgun on your drive home. Get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, a whole lot of fun, and it's all Wire to Wire.